Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of part one of listening to God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part one of listening to God.
Today, we come to a topic that if we are going to be intimate with God, that has to be true in our lives. Any communication that's effective must. It is essential. It is absolutely necessary for good communication to take place, is that you have effective listening. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." And so if we are going to be intimate with God, we have to hear his voice. We've been using the song for the invitation in the garden. And there's a line in the song that says, "He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing." So God is speaking. The songwriter said that when he speaks, that the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. Have you heard him speak? Have you heard the singing of the birds around you stop because the Lord was speaking? Songwriter went on to say, "Within my heart is ringing, ringing." See, when there is somebody talking, there has to be somebody listening. And the songwriter said that when God speaks, a melody rings in my heart. That means he was listening to what the Lord said. And the ultimate sign that he listened to God, he said, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own." And the joy we share. So you don't get joy in a one-sided situation. Joy is two ways. Joy is a giver and a receiver. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So this morning, we want to talk about, and this is a two-part sermon, so we only get through half of it today. This morning, we want to talk about listening to God. If you want to be intimate with God, if you want to pursue intimacy with God, you got to listen to him. You got to learn how to listen. You got to learn how to hear his voice. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to teach you how to listen to the voice of God. There's no question about the fact that God is speaking. God is speaking. And the problem is, we are not listening. And so we want to be very intentional and very detailed over these next 2 weeks as we teach. And we'll do a little preaching in here too. But as we teach how to listen to God. Open in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel, in verse 1, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was lying down in his place and his eyes began to grow dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered and said, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou did call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Listening to God. We all remember the story of Hannah, who was not able to have children, and she prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord opened her womb and allowed her to have a child, and that child was Samuel. And she told the Lord that if you bless me with a child, I'm going to give that child back to you. And so she gave Samuel back to the Lord. And when Samuel was weaned, she took him to the temple, and there he had his residence from that point on. The priest at that time was a man named Eli, and he had two sons that were wicked sons. And they did all kind of nefarious acts and evil adulteries. And God was going to judge his sons, and also Eli, because he didn't discipline his sons like he should. And so God had a message that he wanted to get out, and he decided to give this message to this young child whose name was Samuel. So this lets us know it doesn't make any difference how old or how young you are, that God can speak to your heart. And we see that he spoke to the child Samuel. And as we look at verse 1, we see the reason for the voice of God. The reason for the voice of God. And when we think about the reason for the voice of God, actually, there were two reasons. And the first reason was that the word, he says here, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. This word rare means that it was precious. This word means that it was valuable. It means that it was like some jewels, that there wasn't a lot going around. And so the word of God was not prolific. It wasn't being scattered around. And so you didn't hear of the word of God being put forth a lot. And so during this time, because of the wickedness of the people, God didn't put his word out there like he did at other times. And so the word was rare. It was precious. And the second thing we see is that not only was the word rare, but there was no prophetic voice. There was no spokesman for the Lord. If we look at the scripture, we see that throughout history, God had a voice, beginning with Abraham, and he had a voice through Moses, and he had a voice through Joshua. And even as we move on through Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and the prophets, and even in the New Testament, we see John the Baptist. But during this time in the history of Israel, there was no prophetic voice. And so God had to get his message out. God had to get his word out. And he chose to get his word out through this young man by the name of Samuel. So there's two reasons why God spoke to Samuel. The first one is the word of God was precious, and the second one, there was no prophetic voice of that day. As we look at the repetition of the voice, that God had to come to Samuel three times before either him or Eli realized that it was the voice of the Lord that was speaking. We see that Samuel was in the temple, or some people believe that he wasn't necessarily in the temple itself, but he may have had a room off to the side of the temple where he was responsible for keeping the light of the Lord lit in the temple. But not only that, because Samuel had an eye problem, his sight was going bad, that Eli had the problem, Samuel probably had to minister to Eli. He had to take care of his needs. If he needed something, that he would call Samuel, and Samuel would run to his bedside to see what the man of God wanted. He was obedient to Eli, and he was there to meet every need that Eli had because he began to lose his sight. And so God calls out to him three times, and finally on the third time, the man of God says that this must be the voice of the Lord. And so he tells him, go lay down again, and the next time you hear this voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, lay down, and he heard the voice again. And he said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And God had a message for Samuel. And it was a message of judgment and condemnation. It was a very important message, and we have to keep in mind the two things that I pointed out earlier. The word of God was rare, and there was no prophetic voice. And so the only way that God got his word out was through this young man by the name of Samuel. And so God was speaking. So I'm here to tell you today, just like in that day, God is speaking. God is speaking to your heart. Are you listening? There's no question about the fact that God is speaking. Every day we are to hear a word from the Lord. If you don't hear a word from the Lord every day, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. That every day when I come to the Lord, if I've got some problems in my life, I come before him, I ought to hear a word from him. If I have a decision to make in my life, I need to come before him, and I need to hear from him. As I go throughout my life and I need direction, I need guidance, that I ought to come before the Lord and I ought to hear from him. God is always speaking. And there's never a time that God is not speaking unless there's something wrong with our life. And he might stop speaking to us to try to get our attention. But he's speaking every day. God has a message. God has a word. And so the question is not whether or not God is speaking. Don't even ask that question. That's not the question. The question is, are you listening? Because his voice goes out. I heard the story about a man who was the head of a telegraph company, and this was back in the day of Morse code. And he was looking for a Morse code operator. And there was a bunch of individuals that wanted to interview for the job, so there was a sign that said, if you came to apply for the job, have a seat here in the vestibule and we'll get with you. And so there was about four or five guys sitting in this office area. And as they sat there, a young man came in. He sat there for a few minutes. And after sitting there for a few minutes, he went back into the employer's office. And the other guys thought to themselves, wow, you know, this guy has a lot of nerve. What in the world is he going back to? You know, we've been waiting here. We've been sitting out here all this time. Why in the world did he go back there? About 5 minutes later, the boss comes out with this young man, and he told him that the job had been filled, that he was hiring this young man. And all the guys out there sitting down, they were in an uproar. And they said, it's not fair. We were here. How did he get the job? It's not fair. And the boss responded by saying this. All the time you've been sitting there, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man heard it and understood it. Therefore, the job is his. And as you think about that example, that's the way God is. God is always ticking. God is always sending out messages. And the question is not whether he's sending out the messages. The question that goes to the guys that were sitting in the office and the question that goes to us, are we listening and are we understanding? And as I think about the reason that some of God's people don't hear his voice, don't listen to his voice, there are several reasons why you might not be hearing the voice of God. Now, again, I know that I have yet to be disappointed in my devotion time when I go to the Lord and I spend time with him to not hear something from him. And I realized when I don't hear something, it's not because he's not speaking. It's because I might be the one with the issue. And the first problem that arises is that some people are uninterested listeners. And what does that mean? Well, the sad reality is that a lot of believers don't want to listen to what God has to say because they're not interested in what God has to say. They got their own agenda. And they're afraid to go to God and ask him for something because he might tell them to do something that's not in their plans or not on their agenda. It amazes me as a pastor. Absolutely staggers my imagination when God's people make major decisions and one of the first questions that I'll ask them, what did God tell you about that? And it's unbelievable. It blows my mind because I've heard this response time and time again. I didn't hear anything from God. And I'll ask them, well, did you pray about it? Well, no, I really didn't do that. So let me ask you this. You're making a major decision in your life, and you haven't prayed about it, or you haven't heard the voice of the Lord. Now, the only conclusion that I come to is that you really weren't interested in what God had to say. Because if you were, now I'm not talking about a new believer in the faith. I'm talking about people that have been coming to church for years, making decisions without having heard the voice of the Lord. Somebody explain that to me. I don't understand that. The first thing, if I had to make any decision at all, I wouldn't even think about making a decision until I took that decision and prayed about it before the Lord. Yeah, I would hope that one of the things that you as the congregation here at Bethany Baptist Church would realize that I'm not going to bring anything before this congregation that I haven't prayed about. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm saying it that it has to go. All I'm saying is I'm not going to bring anything before you that I haven't prayed about. But yet and still, people make decisions every day and they don't pray about them. And they haven't heard from God. They haven't listened to God. And like I said, the reason is because they have their own agenda and they say, I just don't want God to come and mess anything up. You know, I know what I want to do. I know who I want to be with. I know how I want to get there. I got it all figured out. And if I ask God, he might tell me something different and just mess it up. So I don't want to hear what he got to say. So there is the uninterested listener. There is the unfocused listener. And that is the person who, once again, God is speaking, but they allow so many distractions to come up that they can't hear God's voice. They come to their quiet time, God is trying to tell them something, and they're thinking about, I got to wash a load of clothes. I got to get my lunch ready. You know, who's going to win the game? And we are so tied up with all these trivial thoughts that the fact that the God of the universe, that the almighty, all-powerful God, the God who created everything in existence, wants to speak to us. And we can't be focused enough for a few minutes just to give him our attention. The undistracted listener. See, the problem is that God is speaking on 100 FM and you're on 90 FM. You're not picking up his signal because you're distracted. You know, there's a great example. Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Psalm 73. And I read this, I say on a regular basis. It's about a guy named Asaph. And he had a problem. And his problem was that he wasn't focused on God, that he was looking at a lot of other things. And because he didn't set his station on God's dial, he became very frustrated. In Psalm 73, in verse 1, he said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet almost were gone, and my steps, they almost slipped. Why? Because I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So instead of him looking at God, he was looking at wicked folks. And he was looking at the fact that they were prospering. He was looking at the fact that they were getting over. He was looking at the fact that they were sitting back like fat cats doing wrong. And he had a problem. And only when he changed dials was he able to hear from God. See, as long as he focused on the wicked, he couldn't hear God. As long as he allowed these things to crowd his mind, his thoughts, his attention, he could not hear God. But look at Psalm 73 in verse 16. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I saw how the wicked were prospering, and I saw how that they were getting over, he said, it was too painful for me. He says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I fine-tuned my focus, until I put my dial back on God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part one of Listening to God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part one of Listening to God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Listening to God, part one. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Listening to God, part one, or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze, We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.